Joining me today, we have the editor-in-chief of Rabbit Habs and the co-host of the Montreal Bias podcast, Zach Vinas. Zach, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on the podcast, man. Not much, sitting here watching the NBA draft, but don't tell hockey fans that.
I think a good place to start is to talk about the Alex Galchenyuk for Max Domi trade. I've been thinking a lot about the trade, and I managed to collect my thoughts and see how Domi can help our team, but there are also some negatives to the trade. What do you think of the trade?
Yeah, I mean, I said this on rabbithabs.com in our forum, which you're a participant in. I don't like the trade indication. Yet another indication that Marc Bergevin has lost the if he ever had it. I think, just the idea of this third overall pick, the center who is supposed to be the future of the Montreal Canadiens, being arguably mismanaged. How much of that is on Galchenyuk? How much of that is on have brain trust? It's difficult for us outsiders to say, but you can't argue that this wasn't a tremendously mismanaged asset almost from the get-go with him. So yeah, it's Max Domi's not the player that Alex Galchenyuk is. It'll be very interesting to see what he does in the desert, likely playing down the middle where we saw him have some great success for the Montreal Canadiens before the decision was made by the brass that he would never play there again. So I hear the argument and the very valid argument that you made in the forum on rabbithabs.com was that these guys do kind of match as a point per game play. But I just think, the skill set there's miles apart. We'll see what happens in the coming days, particularly with the draft coming up this weekend, in terms of, what that move meant to future moves with the team. But I don't like it. And I think it's yet another mismanagement, another trade lost, perhaps not by a massive percentage, the same way you could make the argument for, say, the Shea Weber PK Subban trade, but it's a downgrade, and you make enough of those time and time again, and you put your team well. I mean, we saw last season what happens.
Yeah, that's true. When the news broke that it was just a one-for-one trade, I was just waiting for, is there anything else? Is Montreal going to get anything else? And then when I realized it was just Chucky for Domi, I was kind of, I don't know, I thought Alex Galchenyuk was worth more, and I thought Domi would at least, or Chucky would at least get maybe a second-round pick, another prospect or anything. I don't think Domi's a good player. I really like him. I think he fits well with Julian's system because he's like his work ethic, and he goes in the dirty corners, and he's a great playmaker. But I think Montreal really could have gotten more for that trade. But I guess Marc Bergevin likes those one-for-one trades with Mikhail Sergachev, Jonathan Drouin, and PK Subban for Shea Weber.
I agree with you completely. Like, that's exactly it. I don't think Domi's a bad player. He's had his struggles, certainly, with the Coyotes the last couple seasons, from bursting onto the scene as a pretty phenomenal rookie. And those of us who watched him in the junior tournament certainly saw that the talent is there. But it's the fact that, it was one for one for Alex Galchenyuk, a third overall pick, a guy who in his early 20s scored 30 goals playing down the middle. Yes, there's deficiencies in his game. Yes, he has a lot to learn. But like you, when I was out playing softball, when the trade happened, I was coming back and just got the messages on my phone, and I was waiting for my buddies to text me with the rest of the trade. And when that wasn't there, I just couldn't fathom it. It didn't make sense that you wouldn't at least, like you said, pull a second round pick back or something else. It doesn't take long to be able to tell that everybody thinks the Habs got swindled on this. I mean, yes, you have your defenders within the Montreal Canadiens fan base of it, because they're always going to be looking at it with blue blind with glasses on. But overall, I don't see how this could be possibly a one for one deal. I think I've always been a pretty big Galchenyuk fan, probably one of the bigger ones within the fan base. But even that aside, the fact that this was a one for one and nothing else came back is really quite shocking. And sure, you save the cap space, so as I said earlier, we'll see where this goes. We'll see what happens with, the Canadians have a boatload of cap space now. But I don't know. I don't think this was done with a much larger plan in place, the same way Radulov and Markov got away with no larger plan in place. I think this was the trade, and then we'll see what shakes out. And with that being the case, you just can't defend it to me.
I know that Max Domi, he's a great playmaker, and even though he's had a rough go at Arizona. I think he will play well in Montreal, but I'm not sure where we're going to get our goals from, considering that Galchenyuk scores a lot of goals. Maybe Mark Bergevin acquires, I don't know, Phil Kessel or something like that, but I honestly don't know where Montreal will get his goals. And Max Domi, in his first season, he scored 18 goals, which is good, but in his past two seasons, he's scored 9 goals. And I'm quite concerned now that we lost another goal-scoring sniper, and Max Pacioretty may be dealt, so I'm kind of nervous for how the goals are going to come.
I mean, there's going to be, you know, once Max moves, and I say once because I think that could be done as soon as Friday, or perhaps even earlier. There's rumors of Mark Bergevin speaking on Thursday evening, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, you're right. Who's going to score goals? There's Brendan Gallagher, sure. And after that, I guess that's what the post-Max Pacioretty $20+ million in cap space is good for. Plus, you know, we'll see what comes back in exchange for Max Pacioretty. But there's a lot of work to be done in terms of getting somebody to score. The biggest problem the Canadians have had for what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years now. And right now they're in a worse place than they were last year, which was not a good place to start with. So, you know, you think back to the end of last season, it was Brendan Gallagher, and for better or worse, depending on how you like him or not, Alex Galchenyuk was our second best goal scorer. It's going to be tough to find goals if we've got nothing but setup men, supposed setup men, and then Brendan Gallagher going to the net. So you hope, I guess, Shea Weber's healthy and he gets you 12 to 15 or something along those lines. But you can't be expecting your back end to do the goal scoring either. So it's a tough spot. And there's a lot, obviously, with $20 million in cap space, there's a lot to still shake out unless it's another season of let's just hold on to that space for who knows why. I don't expect that, but a lot of pieces to come into place, and you just good teams don't put themselves together by throwing a bunch of guys randomly off of free agency. And I mean, there's not even much more to trade. Galchenyuk was one of the final assets. Once Pacioretty is gone, those are your assets. So where does that leave us? You know, it's cap space, Galchenyuk and Pacioretty. Those were the things you were going to move in the offseason to get your goal scoring. Galchenyuk's been moved for 9 goals, 5 of which were into the empty net.
And I'm quite nervous to see how Galchenyuk is going to play as a center, considering that John Chyka's comment saying that we wouldn't have got him if we didn't know that he had the ability to play center. So if he's going to flourish, the trade is going to look pretty bad, but I'm not sure. I think he'll play well as a center in Arizona, to be honest. And I don't know. And the other comments that Mark Bergevin made was that Max Domi, he could play center as well, but at the end of the day, he sees him as a winger. But I think that Max Domi is going to be tried out as center, considering that our center depth is kind of slim, other than Philip Deneau, maybe Jonathan Drouin. And I think Max Domi is going to be a quick plug as a center. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like I heard that comment too, and it was laughable, just because of obviously what happened with Drouin last season. I still think because of all that cap space, because of the swirling rumors around O'Reilly out of Buffalo, the free agency of Stastny, the likelihood that Thomas Plekanec is probably going to be back on the roster. I think there will be centers. Even considering what happened last season, I still would be shocked if they tried Domi out at center. I mean, it would almost be embarrassing to try Domi out at center, considering what happened. I mean, take Drouin away from the middle too, in my opinion. Like, get all those guys on the wing, use your cap space to somehow patch some centers in there, and see where we find ourselves. Is probably, you know, that's the best route forward, unless there's people still out there holding on to the idea of John Tavares, but it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. I mean, just quit entertaining that thought, people.
I think there are a few likely scenarios that might happen. I think the Canadians will, like you said on Rabbit Habs, you wrote an article about the inevitability of Paul Stastny joining the Canadians. I think he's going to sign a contract with the Canadians. I think I have a gut feeling that Max Pacioretty is going to be traded to Buffalo for Ryan O'Reilly.
And me too.
I think that's those 1-2 centers. I think that's good for the time being, because Paul Stastny could still play as a More of a three center, but he'll be played
more of a three,
for maybe another year or two, and maybe that'll allow Claude Julien to put Jonathan Drouin back to the wing and Domi back to the wing. So I don't know, there's still a lot to play, and we have the draft tomorrow with the third pick. If Montreal's gonna, or if they're gonna draft a center like Kotkaniemi or a sniper in Zadina, who could replace Galchenyuk's goals in the future.
Yeah, my full expectation is the centers, you know, based on knowing nothing, obviously, is that exactly what you laid out. I don't even hate it, to be honest, as much as I was in that article for Rabbit Habs really hoping against hope that we wouldn't add Stastny. As a expensive stopgap, I'm okay with O'Reilly at the one, Stastny 2, Deneau 3, Plekanec 4. That you can work with that. We're not going to win a Stanley Cup with that, but it's something that you can start to build off of. So if that's where the Canadians find themselves after free agency and the draft and trades shake out with, you know, Max Domi and Brendan Gallagher and who else do we have to play the
way? Andrew Shaw.
Jonathan Drouin, Andrew Shaw.
Paul Byron.
You can work with none of those necessarily besides Brendan Gallagher are first line guys. Maybe Drouin still turns into one. But that's something. That's a starting place. That's much better than the spot they were in last season, which was, I mean, you simply had no centers for some reason. Even though all that was the case, Alex Galchenyuk still didn't get a chance. But I guess we got to let that one go, though. You know, if any of your listeners have ever listened to my podcast before, they can probably expect we won't really be giving it up all that soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Galchenyuk, he does have the potential to be a really good center. And back to Max Domi, I wonder how he's going to play in a hockey-crazed market, because when he played in the juniors for Canada, even though that's quite a long time ago, he was superb, and then he transitioned to Arizona, which is it's not really a big hockey market, and maybe that affected him, because Ty Domi says that he Max loves the city of Montreal and that he's dying to play for a hockey-crazy market. So I wonder if that's going to benefit Max Domi positively.
I mean, we saw what his dad could do, right? With his talentless, no-skill dad could do. He created a cult in Toronto around him. So I'm sure there will be some excitement from Max Domi, obviously, coming from out of Phoenix to play in Montreal. Yes, that's going to be worth something. But I've been watching, you know, a couple decades of hockey now. I've been trying to talk myself into, yeah, but Montreal will turn this guy up. You don't see it happen. It's not a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, I don't think maybe Max Domi's engagement in Phoenix was less because it was the Coyotes and they're a very bad team, perhaps. Maybe that's why he had a bit of a down season.
Mm-hmm.
But he's coming to a locker room that, from all accounts, and Art Pambasu had a great article on this on The Athletic earlier this week. You know, this was a troubled locker room in Montreal. This was a locker room where people were not giving enough effort.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, they weren't putting it together. I mean, they were all playing in Montreal. So, yes, it could be a nice shot in the arm from Max. Maybe it gets him going.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just the change of scenery. Or my hope, and I think the most realistic thing that we can hope for, is Claude Julien turns him into something. Because I got to agree with you. I do think he might be a Claude Julien type player.
Mm-hmm.
So there's upside to Max Domi. Absolutely, and especially Max Domi coming to Montreal. But, you know, if that's what we're clinging to of, oh, Montreal will kick it in, you know, once he's in the Mecca, he's going to be a whole different player. I don't know. The fans will probably like him. You know, there's a good chance he becomes a fan favorite in Montreal, for sure. But we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're traded for the third overall pick, who was the much talked about center, there's also a lot of pressure on Domi.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Have you heard about the Max Pacioretty for the Ryan O'Reilly and the number 3 draft pick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we all read the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Max Pacioretty for Max Pacioretty in a second for Ryan O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Sign me up. I'm in. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm,
I really like Ryan O'Reilly. I think he's heavily underrated, great talent, and a solid center.
Mm-hmm.
But the number 3 pick for Ryan O'Reilly, No dice. I don't think so. That's an asset that you control for a long time at a very great cost. Whereas, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, he's not cheap.
No, he's not cheap at all. And he has a very expensive signing bonus, which is, I believe...
That's okay. Jeff Molson could take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And, yeah, I think Ryan O'Reilly, he plays a 200-foot game. He seems like Mark Bergevin type of player, Claude Julien type of player.
Absolutely.
Plays 200-foot game, and he could still rack up 60 points and score 20 goals. So I think he'd be a really good addition, but at the cost of the number 3 pick, who we could get a player for, like you said, who could be cost-controlled for like 5-6 years, I don't think Mark Bergevin would do it. But I'm really excited for the draft because a lot of things are going to happen, and I expect Mark Bergevin to make a splash at the draft with the abundance of picks he has, because he's traded his second-round picks in the past for Andrew Shaw, and he's always busy at the draft, so I'm quite excited for what's going to happen tomorrow.
Likewise, I think it's going to be, I mean, there's, as you say, a lot of things that could shake out for Montreal. I am, though, worried about what you were just talking about. I am concerned that number 3 pick is dealt for Ryan O'Reilly, because Marc Bergevin is in a desperate situation. Now, his job is on the line. If this was a first-year GM, as we saw with Marc Bergevin when he had the 3rd overall pick in his first year, zero chance he trades him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Marc Bergevin thinks he needs to turn results out next year, and he likely does.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope he doesn't do that at great cost to the future. And I mean, like, as you probably you can pick up, I would be excited about O'Reilly coming to the Habs. I really like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But not at the cost of number 3. I think that's just too big a price to pay. Put patches with some sort of package, go for it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But no, hold on to that number 3 pick. If you're not getting a bona fide number 1 center, which O'Reilly's right below that, in my opinion, but you need, we're talking about the, you know, there's 10 or 15 guys in the league who you could maybe consider. And that might even be probably too high of an estimate for who I'd be willing to deal the number 3 for.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Center wise. I mean, there's plenty of players I'd consider it for, obviously, overall. Mm-hmm. But I'm just talking centers, which is obviously Bergevin's focus.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't think Mark Bergevin would trade his third overall pick. He is desperate, but he also has an abundance of cap.
We'll find out.
He also has an abundance of cap, so I think he's gonna make a splash or two at the free agency. Maybe signing Tyler Bozak. He's another center, and Paul Stastny. Yeah. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure what Bergevin's gonna do. I'm not sure if it's gonna be good. I'm not sure if it's gonna be bad. I just know he's gonna make a monumental splash.
Oh yeah, he's going. He's got to.
Yeah. And I have another comment about Alex Galchenyuk and the fact that he's in a new situation and he has a change of address and he could flourish because he's with a lot of attacking players. He's probably going to play with Clayton Keller. And I don't know what my thoughts are, but if Alex Galchenyuk scores a lot, it's just going to make the trade even more worse. I don't know. I want the trade to look as bad as it is. I think Max Domi is a good player, of course, but, you know.
No, I agree. I think you're right to be concerned about that, because my expectation is, look at all the things that Alex Galchenyuk was deprived of in Montreal. Ice time being the number one thing that he never really seemed to get. So he's going to get that with Arizona. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So automatically you're going to see his numbers go up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, he's playing with good scoring wingers. I mean, that Arizona team was pretty bad last year, mm-hmm. but that's not to say there's no pieces there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play pretty free and easy, not much pressure going from being the number 3 pick overall in Montreal,
mm-hmm.
supposed to be the savior, all this conversation, to now he's out to Arizona. He's going to be golfing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I assume his parents are going to follow him because they seem to do that. It would probably be better for him if he were able to get away from them. you know, that's just what I pick up from the rumors and gossip, but yeah, I think he's going to flourish. I think he's going to play down the middle, tons of pressure off him, going to play with decent players. He's going to get good minutes and do not be surprised if Alex Galchenyuk puts up 25 to 30 next year. Defensive lapses, sure, but you're not going to see those most likely on the highlights. What you're going to see is Alex Galchenyuk potting 30.
Mm-hmm. The same could be said for Max Domi, but goals are a lot more valuable than assists, and I expect Domi to rack up 30, 35, 40 assists next season, and I think he could hit the 10-15 goal mark, but at the end of the day, if you see Alex Galchenyuk scoring 35 goals with the Arizona Coyotes, or 25 to 35, and then you see Max Domi potting 10 to 17, then you lose 18 goals right off the bat.
Exactly, and I get the sense like maybe there's some listeners out there rolling their eyes and saying that Alex Galchenyuk to 35. It's not ridiculous. He scored 30 already. People this was a 30 goal score on a bad team, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not absurd to think he could do that on a team where he's playing tons of minutes. Mm-hmm. I really expect that to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I'm not sure. Max Domi, he's a really good player. He's going to get a lot of assists, but I'm not sure who he's going to pass the puck to. There's no scorers other than Brendan Gallagher. The second highest scorer on the team is Paul Byron, and he's more of a second, third liner. And I'm not sure who Max Domi is going to pass the puck to, not unless Marc Bergevin acquires another sniper through trade or free agency.
That would surprise me. I really think all the moves that are coming this summer are going to be down the middle, and the guys we're talking about, or maybe, you know, maybe something a little bit out of left field. But I think it's going to be centers. The blue line could use some work. If you could move Carl Alsner for nothing at all, that would be great. But we absolutely need another defenseman of the higher end. You know, I mean, who doesn't in the NHL besides the Nashville Predators? But I get the sense even $20 million will get eaten up relatively quickly if you bring in, say, Stastny and O'Reilly, or O'Reilly and Bozak, Stastny and Bozak, some combination. Then there's not a ton of guys who need another contract, so that's good in that sense. You've probably got room for one more guy after those centers. So maybe you can shore up the blue line a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say, but for me, it's – all that I expect to be added in the offseason is two guys down the middle.
Yeah, the only good left-handed defender on the free agency is Calvin DeHaan, and he's probably going to get around $4 million. And if Montreal does get Stastny, who I think it's more 60-40, which is, let's say, $6 million, and then another center – say O'Reilly, $7.5 million. You're left at $6 million, and if you sign DeHaan, you're down to $2 million in cap space. So,
and you got there are still some guys who need something that's eats up that last $2 million pretty easy. So you're not adding two guys down the middle at a decent cost, which they absolutely need. It's obvious they just don't have centers, and so maybe add something else on the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your team. That's probably what you're going to be looking at. Unless there's bigger trades, who knows what happens at the drafts. Maybe things get blown up in ways we can't ever expect. We've seen Marc Bergevin do that to us before. But if things go the way they seem scripted to, I think you're looking at the same team with a couple of new guys playing the center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Max Domi, Alex Galchenyuk trade, I think it's going to be a small piece to solve a problem, because like you said, this is Marc Bergevin. He's on the hot seat, but he needs to get results this year.
Oh no, he's on the hot seat.
I think he's on the
hot
seat.
His seat is very, very hot. I think there's coals just steaming up under his chair.
Let's say he is on the hot seat after the past 3 years. I mean, that's a fair point. He's most likely on the hot seat. And I think the Domi trade, or the Domi for Galchenyuk trade, that's going to be, hopefully it's a piece of the puzzle.
Hopefully. I would like to think there's a big grand plan in place, or some strategy in place. But after what we saw last year's offseason, in which all that cap space just sat there, where it became very evident very quickly that there was no plan B if Markov and Radulov didn't come back, I've lost some confidence. Now, maybe Marc Bergevin learned a lesson there. But if I'm just going on track record, I have no reason to believe that this is part of some grand plan. It's just a move that was made because for Alex Galchenyuk had to be traded for reasons he can't talk about. Very Mark Bergevin answer. I don't think this is... Yes, the plan was, let's trade Alex Galchenyuk and give Max Domi less money, open more cap space, give us some opportunities. But I think that's as far as this plan's been got through.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm not sure if there's a plan per se, but Mark Bergevin is going to make a few splashes, like we previously said. I'm just not sure if it's going to positively affect the team or negatively affect the team, because he is desperate. He may overpay on the free agent or trades. So it's exciting times, like last year, except we just sat on cap space and we didn't use it. This year, I think this year is going to be different, because hopefully Bergevin learned from his mistake that if you sit on $8 million plus in cap space, your team won't play well. I think he learned from that mistake, considering he's on the hot seat. I don't think he'd repeat that.
White has to have. No, I don't think he's going to sit on the cap space. Unless there's some secret direction from Jeff Molson to just save money for a few years for reasons we don't know about, which would surprise me, since the Montreal Canadiens mint money. I expect us to be up, maybe there'll be a million or so to play with, because Bergevin does like to have that. But no, I completely expect the money to be spent. If you're an agnostic Habs fan, if there's such thing as an agnostic Habs fan, then it's probably going to be a pretty fun offseason, starting with whatever happens in the next 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Because the Habs have to do a lot. There's going to be splashes, as you say. Whether or not they're favorable or not, we will find out. But there's going to be action around the Canadiens. Like, it's not going to be a quiet offseason. And if it is, that's, people are going to not be going to opening night. So
The funny thing is, even though we're bashing on the Canadiens, if Carey Price returns in 920 or like 925 form and Shea Weber's healthy, then we're probably going to make the playoffs, which is
the weird thing. I would think so.
Just a weird thing.
Yeah.
And it sucks that we're in that middling. And we're right in the middle, because if we acquire assets, we may sacrifice the future. But at the same time, it's kind of impossible to trade Shea Weber and Carey Price, which I don't think will happen, of course. But we're in the middle, and I think we have to go up, considering we have Carey Price and Shea Weber in their 30s.
Yep. No, I agree. If you're committing to Carey Price and Shea Weber, which I believe the Canadians are, there's no reason to think otherwise. I would personally consider blowing it all up entirely and moving out at least Shea Weber, if not both of them, and as much as I enjoyed both of those players thoroughly. Bergevin has no incentive to do that. Jeff Molson and many fans don't want to see that happen. I mean, there's probably still, even if you can sell it in Toronto, not necessarily a lot of appetite for a complete teardown and rebuild in Montreal, that people would like to see this adjusted on the fly. And you can adjust on the fly. Mm-hmm. It's not to say you can't. The Canadians are not in such a horrid position that they can't figure it out to some degree. Contend? I don't know. But they could probably make the playoffs with, as you say, everybody just being healthy and a few changes next season. It would not shock me, but they're not going to make the playoffs and be talked about as a contender, I don't think. But I mean, we had the Vegas Golden Knights, so who the hell knows?
Yeah, you never know. I think this is a good end to the podcast. Before we leave, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Zach Drops Tweets. That's Zach with a CH. And of course, also follow my podcast at the Montreal Bias.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Great to be on this. Thanks.
All right. See ya.